Let's get it. All football, all the time. You're listening to the Best Football Show, hosted by Brian Baldinger.
Well, hello. Welcome to the Best Football Show. This is Brian Baldinger right here. I'm your host here every day right here in my beautiful film room on the third floor at NFL Films. One floor below me is the great Bill Belichick. He's breaking it down. He beat me to the parking lot today. A little ticked about that. But anyways, he's down there working for Inside the NFL. I think he's combing this whole league. Anyways, you can find this podcast daily on your free Odyssey app. You can like it, download it, subscribe to it. Tell all your friends about it. You can find me at Baldy NFL on all the platforms, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. I'm there. Let's start week three. It starts tonight at MetLife Stadium, as Aaron Rodgers called it yesterday. MetLife Stadium up there between the 1-1 Patriots and the 1-1 Jets. The Patriots have played very good football. They won 16-10 against the Bengals in week one. They made a play at the goal line to get the ball out of Tanner Hudson's hands and recover it. And the Bengals never really recovered. They won that game, and they earned the win, 16-10. Last week, in their home opener, they had Seattle on the ropes. They couldn't finish, and they lost in overtime. They had a chance. What they're doing well right now is they're playing excellent run defense. Excellent. And while they traded away Matt Judon, and I think they'd recover, Keon White, their second-year player out of Georgia Tech, has played great. He's got three sacks, a bunch of pressures. They play him up and down. I call him the piano man. He plays up and down the defensive line, number 99. He's a force, 6'5", 285 pounds. He can rush. He's got a plan. He's been good. They've been good. They've been good defensively. And offensively, Gerard Mayo has figured out what their identity is. They actually have got a pretty good offensive line. They found a rookie in the fourth round, Laydon Robinson at right guard. He's been excellent, just excellent. And they drafted a kid in the third round, Caden Wallace, number 70. They play him as a third tackle in a bunch of sets. He was a third-round pick at Penn State. The two of them have been very good, along with Wenyu and Andrews. Left tackle position's a little bit off. But the result is Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson have been very good. And the Jets are going to have their hands full. They've had trouble against the run. They were better last week, better against Tennessee last week than they have been. They weren't very good at all week one against San Francisco. They might be going without – they're definitely going without Jermaine Johnson and maybe without C.J. Mosley. They played without D.J. Reed as well last week. They're going to have their hands full with this rushing attack because there is a commitment to it. They moved the line of scrimmage in New England. Both backs are very, very good. It's a good 1-2 punch. You got to tackle these guys, otherwise they go a long ways. You miss tackles, and they'll make you pay. So the Jets are going to be tested on the ground. Now, this is about Aaron Rodgers, honestly. This game is about Aaron Rodgers. It's last time he was running onto the field with the American flag to start the season last year against Buffalo. He lasted four plays. So it's going to be an emotional thing. The fans are watching. He played okay week one. They just weren't good offensively, period. Couldn't convert third downs, didn't stay on the field. San Francisco blew them out. They played better last week. And really, the stars of the show were the two running backs, Breece Hall and Braylon Allen. Braylon Allen is their third-round pick out of Wisconsin. He is a big back. I mean, he is solid now. He's 240. He's an old-school back. He's a factor back. He's 240. He catches the ball very well. For a Wisconsin back, you never know because they never throw to the backs at Wisconsin. So you're not sure if he can or not. But they scored the three touchdowns last week. Now, in addition, we saw Mike Williams in the offense. He caught a big pass from Aaron Rodgers. And what Aaron's going to right now, I call it the Aaron Rodgers laser show. He's throwing lasers out there. He's got limited mobility. The Achilles, look, he's 40, coming back from an Achilles tear. The bounce and the juice and the explosion isn't quite there. You can see he's struggling. When he gets chased or even on bootlegs, it's not easy. So he's gone to a quick passing game. He is as good and adroit as any quarterback in this business at reading a defense pre-snap and knowing where to go with the ball. And so a number of throws last week against Tennessee. I mean, if there was no offensive line and you had four guys rushing him, they wouldn't have gotten there to him as quickly as he's getting the ball out of his hands. And it was a number of throws. It was delays for 18 yards to Michael Williams. It was a touchdown to Breece Hall for 26 yards. Like, he's getting the ball out of his hands quickly. So if Williams is back and looking like he's getting close to being back with Garrett Wilson, with Allen Lazard, with two tight ends that are both capable in Tyler Conklin and Jeremy Rucker, and two backs that can catch it in Breece Hall and Braylon Allen, he's got enough. He's got enough. So it's really up to Aaron Rodgers right here to, you know, to make these pinpoint quick throws where the pressure can't get to him, and he can put the ball exactly where he wants to put it without turning it over. Can they run the ball against this Patriots defense? They're giving up like something like 3.3 or 3.7 yards per carry. They've been very good in their two games. That's a challenge up front for this offense line where they've invested a lot. And they played better last week. Morgan Moses, Oliveira Tucker, you know, Joe Tippmann, John Simpson, and Tyron Smith. They all started and played every snap the first 2 weeks. And that's encouraging because they should get better and better as they go forward. That's going to be, it's going to be close. I think it's going to be low scoring, and I think it's going to be close. But really, this is the Aaron Rodgers show. Like, they have to win these next two games at home. They've got the Patriots tonight. That's three games in 11 days. And they play Denver next week. Two very winnable games. Defensively, they don't look like the same. They don't look like the defense we thought they were going to be. You lose Jermaine Johnson for the season. It's a shame. He's a great young player. Torn Achilles. I don't know if C.J. Mosley's gone. They're never as good without C.J. in there. He's just the quarterback of the defense. So we got to see. We got to see if the defense can get off the field, because the Patriots are going to play keep away from Aaron Rodgers tonight. That's their game plan. So it's going to be fun. A lot for an analyst, it's going to be an analyst dream tonight. But let's watch Aaron Rodgers and what I saw, like the little laser show that he put on last week at Tennessee. Run defense around the league is atrocious. Some teams know how to do it. The Patriots are excellent because they are, their run fits and their gap integrity is excellent. Tampa is excellent. You saw what they did. Jahmyr Gibbs got a couple runs against them, but they shut David Montgomery down. But you look at just the NFC East right now. Think about what Joe Gibbs or Bill Parcells or Buddy Ryan or Jimmy Johnson or Tom Landry would think if your defense, like Washington, is giving up 4.6 yards a carry. That's the best in the NFC East. The Giants, or Dallas, has given up 4.9 yards a carry, and they had no clue how to stop New Orleans last week. You look at the New York Giants are giving up 5.3 yards a carry. And the Philadelphia Eagles are giving up a whopping 6.4 yards per carry. They gave up 180 yards to Green Bay in Brazil. They gave up 190 yards on Monday night to Atlanta. And they've given up 14 runs in two games of 8 yards or more. And you watch them, they don't have good run fits. They're not a disciplined gap defense right now. And they do things that are just unsound, lining up their defensive tackles in two techniques. So backside guards can go cut the linebacker, Zach Bond, a dumb number of times the other day. I mean, they've got to physically, they got, from an alignment standpoint, they have to get better. From a gap standpoint, they have to get more disciplined. You hope that it's just the third week in September and they can get this fixed. But around the league, Dallas's run defense last week was atrocious. Guys were out of their gaps. On the touchdown runs of Alvin Kamara, he wasn't touched on the runs. In the screen pass, like, where was the pursuit? The tackling was poor. Which leads me to the Saints. Coaching matters in this league. Clint Kubiak, the son of his father, Gary Kubiak, who came out of the Mike Shanahan system and was a great head coach and coordinator in this business, knows how to run, put a symphony together, a run pass. They fixed the offensive line at two positions. They drafted Taliese Fuaga, who has been a stud at left tackle for the Saints, and that allowed Trevor Penning, a bust from 2 years ago, to go to right tackle, where he's played better at right tackle. And he's not on an island the way Fuaga is, and he can handle it all. The Saints have become a left-handed team. They run to the left side behind Fuaga, two great tight ends Two great tight ends, you know, in Johnson and 87, blanking on his name right now. Foster Moreau and Johnson, they've been excellent in the run game. Your tight ends can block the edge with your tackles. It's a big plus. And then Derek Carr has benefited from all of it. They've got a stud receiver in Rashid Shaheed. He's averaging 25 yards a catch. He went 70 against Dallas last week, split both safeties, Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson, ran right by him. 70-yard touchdown. You know, and then Chris Olave on the other side could beat any corner in this league one-on-one, which tells me, which then flips the script here. The Saints play a ton of man defense. They're excellent, just excellent. You look at the rookie Kool-Aid McKinstry, okay? You look at Alante Taylor in the slot, and you look at Paulson Adebo. I mean, these guys are man-to-man magnets. You have got to give them the quarterback time, and you need receivers that have elite skills to beat man coverage. But these guys, like, they just smother you. And then, oh, by the way, on the back end is Tyrann Mathieu. He's number 32. He's in his 12th season. Like, the guy is – like, the guy is going to the Hall of Fame. He's got Hall of Fame numbers right now, and he keeps adding to it. Forced fumble this year, interception last week. Like, he is a playmaker with incredible instincts. So, the Saints – I mean, the Eagles got their work cut out for them. I mean, they've got to get a bunch fixed for Monday night, get on the road, and go into the Hornets' nest where they are alive and kicking in the Superdome. I can't wait to get there. I'm announcing that game. Look, two things can happen. The Saints could go to 3-0, and they could be the team to beat in the NFC. Or the Eagles could go down there and beat them and get on a plane ride coming back to Philadelphia feeling really good about themselves and feeling like they're still going to be the team to beat in the NFC. One of those two things is going to happen. If Philadelphia comes back limping, you know, with what happened on Monday night, the heat that Nick Sirianni is under, playing without A.J. Brown, which they look like a different offense without him, it'll be interesting to see if Philadelphia can find a way. If they find a way to win this game, they're going to be just fine. They got talent. They just haven't put it together yet. So anyways, that's we're here into week three. That's been the best football show. Thanks for joining me. I can't wait to talk to you next week and break it down week three in the National Football League.